This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. We ever gonna give up? Beating hearts, beating hearts. Come as one, come as one. This is any country. This is it.
You're listening to Tilikum Wawa, Voices of the People, with Eugene, Chesley, and Lewis.
Hello. And that was Funky Redbone from 1973.
Yeah. What was that song?
We were all wounded at Wounded Knee, in the name of Manifest Destiny. Shall I continue?
Yes.
No?
You're such a good poet.
Can't take credit for that. Why are we playing a funky old scratchy song? It's because yesterday was the 40th anniversary of the takeover of Wounded Knee in South Dakota.
Yep, way back in 1973. And we have several topics to discuss today.
And that's one of them. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of doings, as my grandmother would have said, at Wounded Knee yesterday. A lot of people went in and celebrated or commemorized the events. But to give you some history, on this day, or yesterday, February 27th in 1973, the American Indian Movement occupied the Pine Ridge Reservation near Wounded Knee in protest against the federal government and its policies related to Native Americans. A 71-day standoff between federal authorities and AIM ensued. On March 13th, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Division of the U.S. Justice Department, Harlington Wood Jr., became the first government official to enter Wounded Knee without a military escort. Determined to resolve the deadlock without further bloodshed, there was bloodshed during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Two people actually were killed there. He met with AIM leaders for days, and while exhaustion made him too ill to conclude the negotiation, he is credited as the, quote, icebreaker, unquote, between the government and AIM. Both sides reached an agreement on May 5th to disarm, and 3 days later the siege had ended and the town was evacuated after 71 days of occupation. The government then took control of the town. During the incident, a Cherokee and an Oglala Lakota were killed by the FBI.
Yeah, I think it was Frank Clearwater who was killed at that siege.
And if people haven't heard of this before, you may be wondering why Native Americans, why the Lakota would go and do this thing. Did it just happen out of the blue? Like, we're not happy because our ancestors were killed here? No, they were protesting, as that little clip said, the policies of the United States government towards them. And have things gotten better since then is the question.
Not a whole lot better from the things we've seen.
I do want to mention one woman who was there, and her name was Mary Crowdog. And by some tradition, I'm not supposed to say her name now for a year after she had crossed over, which was February 14th. And I apologize for breaking anybody or, being insensitive to that. But I needed to mention her name. She died on February 14th of this year, before she saw this 40th anniversary. And during the time that siege was happening, she was there, she was pregnant, and she gave birth to her first baby, whose name was Pedro.
Right on.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is awesome.
What a legacy for him.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Mary Crowdog is of Lakota woman fame from the book and from the movie as well. Two books.
Right, right. It was a really good movie, too, and it's hard to get a copy of it or see it, and I've got one, but it's very poor quality. There's a song on there I'd love to play, but oh well.
And along with the history of the American Indian Movement and what happened at Wounded Knee, Dickie Wilson was extremely corrupt, terrorizing traditional natives throughout the reservation. And all of it to basically sell out his people to make money. He pretty much admitted that during his reign.
I'm really glad that doesn't happen anymore in First Nations.
You got a chuckle out of Lewis there.
Caught you off guard, didn't I? I know he's awake over there.
And then in 1976, all the subjects we are discussing today, there were three of them. We're still trying to get a hold of a Pitt River woman to talk about a geothermal plant being built on a sacred site in Northern California. And we're going to talk a little about Hanford, probably. And what these have in common is that in 1976, documentation was dug up that the Pine Ridge was going to be declared a national sacrifice area with 26, at least, coal-fired and nuclear power plants to be built to service the United States with energy. That's why all the murders that happened there during that time, 66 that are known, there's probably a lot more, had occurred to terrorize the people to get them off that land so the energy corporations could take it over.
And you really have, I really, really respect the Lakota people for digging in their heels and staying there. It's not easy to stay there. One of another person who was actually there, Faith White Dress, said that things really, like you said, haven't gotten better. She says, and this is a quote, "Unemployment is so high and the oppression is still so bad. I don't think it's going to take violence. It's going to take a gathering to determine how to bring jobs here. We need libraries. We need more of our children to have a better future," unquote. And, of course, there was some memorializing of Russell Means, who was also gone this last year, crossed over.
Yeah, we interviewed Russell 4 years ago, I think it was, right about this time of year.
That was quite a while ago.
Yeah, I think it was 4 years.
I think so, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of wanted to, one of the things I asked him, well, I asked him what he wanted to talk about. He said, "I want to talk about Obama." And I said, "Well, what about Obama?" He said, "Obama is George Bush's third term."
Oh.
And that was his first year. That's why I know it was 4 years ago. It was right after Obama became president.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't vote for him the first or second time. Didn't vote for the other guy either. But
yeah.
Me neither.
In Oregon, we're fortunate in Oregon that there actually are more than two candidates for president. Not that they'll become president, but at least you got somebody to vote for. I lived in Florida, and there's only either a Republican or a Democrat, and that's it.
That's terrible.
That's it, huh?
So it is slightly better here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Slightly.
Well, pardon me for opining, but I feel like it's oppressive and that it's all manipulation and smoke and mirrors, and you feel like you have a choice between this or that, and you really don't. There's an agenda, and it seems to be to tear up as much land and use all of what they call resources, but which are integral parts of our ecosystems, of us. We're part of it, and it's part of us, but they see dollar signs when they see trees. They see dollar signs when they see a hot spring or a place where they could harness geothermal energy, which is usually, I thought it was a clean energy, but apparently not so. But it would tear up a sacred site in this case that we're considering, the Pitt River people.
Well, it's probably cleaner than most fossil fuel, but no energy is totally clean. Some are better than others.
And taking it down, right down to the nuts and bolts of it, really, Derek Jensen, many KBOO listeners know and have read Derek Jensen books. The only sustainable lifestyle is hunter-gatherer, according to Mr. Jensen. And no matter whether you're mitigating your consumption of energy to support your funny little lifestyle with ice cream in the freezer all the time, with solar lights or with fossil fuels or nuclear power, really we need to change our way of life.
Well, the only sustainable, I guess I kind of misspoke there. There is a sustainable, and that's direct energy from the sun or water as it happens.
As it happens, yeah. Well, they're really good things for you listeners to be thinking about. And if you have any comments you'd like to add in, I'm going to say give us a call at 503-231-8187 because our ninjaneer, Ian, is manning the phones, shuffling and juggling our CDs and playing YouTube videos all at the same time while trying to call someone for an interview.
Well, I have an article here I'd like to talk about just a little bit. It's long, so I just kind of...
Should we take a music break before that?
If you want. I won't spend too long, but we could take a music break.
Yeah, let's take a music break.
my body. You can damn my soul. I'm not believing in your God and some world down below. You don't stand a chance against my prayers. You don't stand a chance against my love. Your law, the gold stands. The old law, the gold stands. We shall live again. We shall live again. My sister above, but she has red paint. She died of wounded knee, like a Latter-day Saint. You got the big drum in the distance, the blackbirds in the sky. That's the sound that you hear when the buffalo cry. But you don't stand a chance against my prayers. You don't stand a chance against my love. Our Lord, the gold stands. Our Lord, the gold stands. We shall live again. We shall live again. We shall live again. Crazy Horse was a mystic.
Yeah.
He knew the secret of the trance. And Sitting Bull, the great apostle of the ghost stand. Come on, Comanche. Come on, Blackfoot. Come on, Shoshone. Come on, Shire. We shall live again. We shall live again. Come on, Rapaho. Come on, Cherokee. Come on, Payne. Come on, Sioux. We shall live again. We used to do the ghost thing. We used to do the ghost dance. But we don't sing them kind of songs no more.
Welcome back to Tilikum Wawa, Voices of the People, with Eugene, Chesley, and Lewis.
Samantha and Mike aren't here with us today. And we now have Morningstar Galley from the Pitt River Tribe to discuss with us the attempt of Calpine Energy to build a geothermal power plant on a sacred site down there, the Medicine Lake Highlands down in California. Hello, Morningstar.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Can you tell us what's going on with this power plant that's supposed to be built?
Sure. So my name is Morningstar Galley. I'm a member of the Ojemawi Band of the Pitt River Tribe. I work as the Cultural Information Officer and the Assistant Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for Pitt River. For the past number of years now, Pitt River Tribe has been has been in the legal battle against Calpine Energy Corporation, where Calpine was granted leases from the Bureau of Land Management. The most recent update is that BLM has, or I'm sorry, Calpine Energy Corporation has retracted its plans for a 500-watt power plant and now intends to build a series of large power plants in the Sacred Medicine Lake Highlands.
So the tribe has recently voted unanimously on a resolution to try and stop this. What kind of teeth does the resolution have?
Well, the yes. So on February 15th, the tribe unanimously voted against any sort of geothermal development in the Sacred Medicine Lake Highlands, and the resolution cites the Sacred Sites Executive Order. It cites the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. We just sent a copy of the resolution to the Special Rapporteur for Indigenous Peoples, Mr. Jim Anaya, and we've also forwarded copies of it to the surrounding tribes, such as the Modoc Nation. They've also offered to support with a similar resolution. And so it's just our one more step in our tribe moving forward, stating that we are opposed to any sort of development in our sacred area. There's creation stories that are associated with Medicine Lake, to where the creator bathed in the lake and left natural healing properties. And so in the English language, it's even named Medicine Lake. In our language, it's Satila. But there's, for example, I had friends that attended an annual gathering that we have this past year, and a friend of mine had bottled up some of the water and took it to a relative who had a knee ailment. And in a couple of days of putting that water on her knee, it cleared up. And so, you know, we know that there's sacred properties in that lake. We are against any sort of recreational use and against any sort of geothermal development.
Hi, Morning Star. My name is Chesley, and I'm one of the co-hosts here on Tillicum Wawa. And I was wondering what kind of protection, federal protection of sacred sites is already in place, if any, for this very special place you're talking about.
Well, there's not much, unfortunately. We did file under NEPA, the National Historic Preservation Act. There was recently a sacred sites MOU that was signed this past December, and that was signed by the Department of Energy, by USDA, by the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. We should also note that tomorrow, on December 1st, the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation will be meeting White House advisors. We'll be meeting with the ACHP observers and tribal leaders to develop a strategy of implementation of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples.
Hmm.
The UN Declaration was voted against by the United States government back in 2007, but it was provided with qualified support by President Obama in 2010. And so he said, under what current federal laws and regulations are, we're going to acknowledge the rights of Indigenous peoples, which are continuously violated on a daily basis.
Indeed.
But these are inherent and inalienable rights that, you know, nobody can give them to us, nobody can take them away. But as has been shown, you know, through this proposed development by Calpine, you know, by the proposed tar sands development, you know, these kind of violations take place daily.
When most people hear geothermal, I think, as I did, they think that it's kind of a clean energy. Tell us and our listeners about the properties and what are, you know, what they have to do to harness this energy, please.
Sure. So what's being proposed in terms of the geothermal, and I think that, you know, that's a perception of, like, here where we live in Pitt River, we have hydroelectric dams by PG&E, you know, with the proposed energy development. We also have large wind turbines that have been placed on a sacred eagle nesting ridge on Hatchet Mountain or Hatchet Ridge. And so, you know, I think that it just needs to be looked at closely of when energy production, even though it's touted as green energy production, there's still impacts and there's still implications. And so geothermal would mean, you know, digging down into the core of the earth where the water table is. And it's significant over in the Medicine Lake Highlands being that it's an underwater volcanic area. And so it would, the test drilling that's already taken place there, we have it recorded by elders that temperature has already risen by a couple of degrees. We have reports that Calpine is proposing 120 test drilling points over there. And so,
wow.
So when we look at the impacts, I know down in Southern California, there's the Ocotillo Expressway that a number of the tribes in Southern California are fighting because large solar plants are being developed right in their sacred site areas. And so, again, you know, there's a big push for green energy, especially in the next 4 years of this phase with the Obama administration. But, again, there's significant impacts that are being made.
We were just mentioning that before you got on the phone with us here, how really the only sustainable lifestyle was that of our ancestors, where we're not having to start ripping stuff out of the earth and messing things up like sacred sites in order to sustain the kind of civilization that we have right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. Definitely, there needs to be, you know, more of a movement, and there is a movement. I have relatives that, you know, live completely off the grid, that live up in the mountains.
Wow.
You know, these solar are connected to a spring water system, and not all of us can be so fortunate, right?
No.
But there are measures that we can take every day to minimize our own ecological footprint.
So the push towards green and renewable energies has actually put native sacred lands at higher risk.
I mean, why don't they build these things like in downtown LA? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of buildings they can put solar panels on and wind turbines and everything else. But no, they have to go after the weakest element in the nation. And so they're going to go after sacred sites, Indian sacred sites, Indian lands, whatever they can do. Just drives me nuts.
Well, a threat to, you know, our sacred sites, a threat to our cultural landscapes is, you know, a direct threat to us as Native peoples if we don't have these sites to go and practice at, if we don't have these places to go and hold our ceremony, you know, then that's cultural genocide that's being waged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, just another step, a further step in terms of, you know, really it comes down to, you know, a threat to our cultural survival as Native people and for all people. You know, this is an issue that affects everyone. You know, we're all a fragile part of this environment, and, you know, that's something that I really appreciate about the current Idle No More movement.
Mm-hmm.
in support of the Keystone XL, against the development of the Keystone XL pipeline, is that a number of sacred sites would be destroyed with that pipeline being built. A number of indigenous communities are being threatened, and it's really unfortunate because just this past week we saw, you know, the money that's being thrown into impoverished communities by these corporations. And so TransCanada is sponsoring one of the powwows, one of the social gatherings and celebrations that's happening.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and so it really creates an issue of divide and conquer. You know, what happens when corporations come in with handfuls of money into our communities, and you know, at what price are willing people, are people willing to be bought?
So what can our listeners do to help out with this issue?
For the Medicine Lake Highlands specifically, you can contact myself. I can give out my email. It's morningstar@pittrivertribe.org. We have a tribal website where you can read the resolution that was mentioned earlier. That's pittrivertribe.org. For I Don't Know More, as mentioned, that's just idontknowmore.com. And I would also suggest going to protectsacredsites.org, because there's sacred sites within your own home community, you know, all over Turtle Island that are currently at threat right now of development and are at threat of recreational use.
So that contact information is morningstar@pittrivertribe.org, or you can go to their website, which is pittrivertribe.org.
Yes.
And I Don't Know More, of course, I'm sure a lot of you are already in contact with or participating in. And
well, every week, Morningstar, we almost every week have some issue or some interview with another sacred site threatened or people being poisoned by mining, or it's on and on. We do, I mean, it's Indigenous Native American radio and news and public affairs, and it's starting to feel overwhelming how much is happening, and we try to get these issues out there and get people aware of it so that, number one, they know that First Nations peoples are still here, and number two, that we are struggling to keep our sacred sites and keep our health and keep our way of life. So thank you very, very much for calling us and letting us know what's going on down in your neck of the woods.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your dedication to getting the word out about protecting sacred sites, and hopefully we will have some good news.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. Maybe Calpine Energy will go bankrupt.
that has happened, and we've actually been successful in divestment strategies and getting stakeholders to pull from them. But nice. I am hopeful to see what happens with the Advisory Committee on Historic Preservation and the White House, and to see how that can be in alignment with more of our sacred areas being protected. So thank you for allowing this time.
Thank you very much, Morningstar. We've been talking with Morningstar Galley, from the Pitt River Tribe, about talking about the Medicine Lake Highlands and the potential of Calpine Energy building geothermal plants on there for alleged energy use. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Shall we play another song?
Absolutely.
Let's hear some more music, Ian.
Oh, Chicago one cold December day. Relocation, extermination.
We are back with Tillicumwawa. That was Floyd Red Crow Westerman.
Mm-hmm.
Wounded Knee, another song about Wounded Knee, worth singing about, of course, and an anonymous woman lending beautiful vocals.
Yeah, we'll have to find out who she is and let you guys know next week. So we have Lewis here in the house, and Lewis has an article he wants to talk about.
Well, I guess I'll come off feed off something you said a little earlier about Indian reservations being dumping grounds for waste and other things. Well, Indians were forced into very poor lands, so not surprisingly, the very reservations are very poor, and that's the areas they get used for dumping and for what they did. It's poor people in general, but Indian reservations tend to be the most poor areas in the country. The article I have says the headline is "Land Grab Cheats North Dakota Tribe Out of $1 Billion Ledge Suit Alleges." Let's read just a little bit of this. It's quite long, so I don't want to do much. Native Americans on an oil-rich North Dakota reservation have been cheated out of more than $1 billion by schemes to buy drilling rights for lowball prices, a flurry of recent lawsuits assert. And the suits claim the federal government facilitated the alleged swindle by failing in its legal obligation to ensure that the tribes get a legal deal, get a fair deal. So now the tribes have been forced into worthless land, but now they're finding out some of that worthless land isn't as worthless as they thought it was to start with. So now they want it back. So, and this is an ongoing thing for anyone that thinks that the persecution of tribes doesn't continue. I got a little bit about that. Since the late 1800s, the U.S. government has appropriated much of the original tribal lands associated with the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota for railroads and white homesteaders. A devastating blow was delivered when the Army Corps of Engineers dammed the Missouri River in 1853, flooding more than 150,000 acres at the heart of the remaining reservations. Members of the three affiliated tribes, the Mandan,
Hidatsa,
and Arikara,
yeah,
were forced out of the fertile valley and up into the arid and barren surrounding hills where they now live.
Now, my understanding is Tex Hall is or was the head council person of that tribe. He's also, I have heard almost nothing good about him, and he's also sold out to fracking companies as well as oil companies and other. And basically, he's just taking the land, giving it to the corporations, and getting a little bit in kickbacks.
Very good. That's pretty much where this article goes. So now they're after, now that fracking has become economically feasible. Yeah. How do you say it?
Environmentally.
Environmentally terrible, horrifying. But economically feasible. So now they're looking to buy oil rights to get oil out of that land. And so it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. It's got to stop, folks. The Indian Wars aren't over. They just have taken on a different dimension.
Well, but it's got to stop for everyone. It's not just Indians.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, I mean, the reservations tend to be the battleground, though, because that's where the what's left that they want, which is mostly is resources. And as our guest talked about, the sacred sites.
I really suggest, I mean, I guess I'm on a Derek Jensen kick tonight, but I suggest people read Endgame Volumes 1
Absolutely.
And 2.
Absolutely. 900 pages, but it's worth reading.
I read every page and
Me
more.
Me too. There's very few books I read every page of.
Yeah, and he is a great writer. He does a lot of research and makes a very good case. It's not, you know, and he has an article, a little interview that he did about don't bother taking shorter showers because we have been misled into thinking that our little personal lifestyle changes are going to matter, and they may some very small amount, but a lot of this destruction is consumer driven, but a lot of it is also the military industrial complex, and a lot of it is something that we're being manipulated into thinking that we want and need.
Yeah, we don't much of what we have now we don't actually need. It's but it's more it's propaganda selling people that we so I think young people now feel that many things are a necessity that didn't even exist when I was a kid.
When my daughter, she's 27, so 12 years ago, a cell phone was unheard of. I mean, that was just something that we couldn't afford. I wish she had one, but we just couldn't, we couldn't do that, and not everybody had them. And now you see really young kids, you know, tapping away on their cell phones, and it's like they think they need those. And we know another young lady who believes that she is entitled to one and needs one.
She's not going to have it for a while, though.
Well, they're iPhones and Androids, which is a lot more than a cell phone.
Yeah, and then, you know, things like iPads and laptops all the phones. Yeah. I know Ani Haynes won't have a cell phone herself, right?
Yeah.
Because of the extraction of, I'm not going to call them resources, but minerals, and the labor conditions under which that's produced. I mean, think about every single thing we use creates some sort of destruction.
But where do you stop? So it's kind of a decision on some of the tools that we use are useful to us, and some really aren't. I try to make that decision of what tools are of real value.
That makes me think. I saw a video recently about Midway Island where a lot of birds are dying because they're consuming a lot of plastic. And the video says, don't throw away anything in the ocean. Now, that's basically insinuating that you and I are responsible for what has happened to these animals. Makes no mention of the giant rafts of plastic that are floating around in the ocean. Makes no mention of the garbage barges that are floating around open and dropping stuff into
Ridiculous.
The ocean. And it makes no mention of the corporations that make these things and continue to make these things because we continue to use these things. And to basically point fingers at individuals, at basically people walking up and down the beach, drinking their colas and throwing the caps in the ocean, that is not the problem. The problem is the corporations that make these things. The problem is that they're not going to stop, that there is no responsibility taken for the issues of taking care of the garbage.
True.
They just throw it away.
True.
They can put it on Indian reservations because that happens a lot.
Burn it on Indian reservations.
Yes.
Down in the Tawano Autumn, that was the reservation where they incinerate medical waste.
Oh, Gila River.
Oh, right. Gila River. And they're supposed to do it at the night and during the nighttime so that it helps reduce the exposure to people. They'd be in their houses more likely, but they do it all day long. And the kids there also get asthma and all kinds of cancer. Just terrible. And, you know, medical waste, of course, being a nurse, I think that's necessary. But I look at what we use and I don't know. It's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Stop. I want to get off of the vicious cycle.
Well, to, back to indigenous cultures, the only sustainable culture is an indigenous culture that where you or your tribe makes, tribe meaning your community, makes whatever you use. You don't get stuff from outside. We couldn't even build a simple car anymore because it's too complex.
Clothes, so our means, clothes aren't even made in America.
But that is kind of the, that is kind of the base of where it all explodes into a culture that is unsustainable.
I like, I mean, I do believe we're teetering on the edge of a big change because we're just stretched too thin. We, I guess we're going to go sideways here for a minute since we invited telephone calls and we have a person, Sean, who would like to talk a little bit about, ask us, I guess, about Indian gaming, casinos, and something about Derek Jensen. So bring on Sean.
Hey, thanks for the incredible show.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
You know, I would love to hear an hour of you three talking with Derek Jensen. I don't know if that's possible.
That would be great.
We've had him on a few times. Well, you know what? I'll send him an email and see if he would talk to us.
That would be outstanding. You know, I'm a pretty loyal listener to the show, but I'll darned if I keep missing every time it comes on.
We'll give you plenty of notice, hopefully. He is really quiet on the phone is the only thing. He's got such a soft voice.
Okay. Well, the question I had was, you know, it seems like the whole gaming issue tends to distract from treaty enforcement and reparations. I think Bartlett and Steele, two journalists, did a big cover story in Time magazine about the big scam of gaming and how outside corporations really are the ones that profit the most from
it. That's very true. They take a lot. They front the tribe with the money and then they demand most of the proceeds for years and years and then the tribe can never really start to see get out of the red ink for a long time.
Right, and it also spreads that kind of market-based value system that you were just talking about. Like, you know, capitalism is so dependent on consumerism. You know, they spend billions of dollars every year on advertising and marketing to get people to buy more and more and more junk. Look at what they're doing in China now.
Yeah.
So it's like spreading that sort of culture of consumerism. You know, it's just so antithetical to everything that indigenous peoples are about and, you know, I guess I was just wondering what the three of you, you know, if there's conflicts, you know, with the people who are promoting that kind of garbage on the reservations.
Our economy requires growth because of the way it's structured.
Grow or die. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. But it will eventually die, of course, because you obviously can't grow indefinitely.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for the time. I really love the show.
Thanks for calling
in. And for I guess we could discuss a little bit of what he brought up about the gaming.
Right.
You did a little bit. Is there any more?
Oh, yeah. It's just that when you start, well, you know, my family tried to get reinstated and get federal recognition for the Chetcos separately from Sillettes because that's where some of my bloodline comes from. And the minute that we started talking and organizing, a developer showed up. I can't remember his name. I don't think I should say it on the air anyway. But he was ready to open a casino for us and give us money to go to Washington, D.C. and get recognized and all of that. So he had he was attached to us just in the initial stages. But you need an economy as a tribe, some way to, I mean, that's part of being a nation is to have an economy. So that's what's required in that nation-to-nation status, I believe, and to be recognized as a tribe. So here comes the casinos because we get special allowances to do that and because historically we're kind of like gamblers and, you know.
Yeah.
That was part of our culture in some instances.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole complex issue.
Yeah.
That one, it's not something that can be just simply answered.
No. Let's take a musical break and come back and say goodbye.
Let's do it.
crazy horse. We hear what you say. One earth, one mother. One does not sell the earth the people walk upon. We are the land. How do we sell our mother? How do we sell the star? How do we sell the air? Crazy horse, we hear what you say. Too many people standing their ground, standing the wrong ground. Predator's face, he possessed a race. Possession, a war that doesn't end. Children of God, feed on children of earth. Days people don't care for people. These days are the hardest. Material fields, material harvest. Decoration on chain that binds. Mirrors gold. The people lose their minds. Crazy horse, we hear what you say. One earth, one mother. One does not sell the earth the people walk upon. We are the land. Today is now and then. Dream smokes touch the clouds. On a day when death didn't die, real world time tricks shadows lie. Red, white, perception, deception. Predator tries civilizing us, but the tribes will not go without return. Genetic light from the other side. A song from the heart. Our hearts to give. The wild days, the glory days live. Crazy horse, we hear what you say. One earth, one mother. One does not sell the earth the people walk upon. We are the land. How do we sell our mother? How do we sell the stars? How do we sell the air? Crazy horse, we hear what you say. Crazy horse, we hear what you say. We are the seventh generation. We are the seventh generation.
That was John Trudell with Crazy Horse from his CD, Bad Dog.
We sure have appreciated being able to come in and talk about these things with you. Thank you for listening. And while we're talking about simplifying and dialing back our needs, we decided that we're going to just live in a shack for now.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're going to live on love. So
you've been listening to Tillicumwawa?
And we'll be back next week. Yeah. Right, Lewis?
Yes, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, and hopefully Samantha and Mike will be able to be with us.
So keep it real, folks. Listen to your hearts. Love each other and live simply.
Yeah, live simply in a shack somewhere.
Take care.
Berkeley, 88.1 KFTF in Fresno, and on.
All right, the time is 7 p.m. You're tuned into KBOO FM here in Portland, down in Albany and Corvallis, over in Hood River, and all over the world at KBOO.FM. We just got done listening to Tillicumwawa, and that is a program that airs every Thursday from 6 to 7 right here on KBOO. And coming up next, we got Hard Knock Radio.
Tuned every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. for Guess Who's Coming to Radio, a show with music and discussion, addressing socio-political issues relevant to African peoples in this nation. We encourage you to call in with some positive, proactive solutions to what we are facing today. Guess Who's Coming to Radio, every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio.
PDX Fusion creates events that celebrate different modalities of expression and community building. Friday, March 1st, KBOO Radio is proud to help PDX Fusion in sponsoring a night themed around dreams at The Refuge, 116 Southeast Yamhill. The night begins with a lecture entitled The Art of Dreaming, which will include visual representations of dream theory, demonstrate practical work in our relationships, as well as give the audience a brief opportunity to explore inner work. That's Fusion Dreams at 116 Southeast Yamhill. This is a 21 and over event on Friday, March 1st at 8 p.m. More information can be found at kbu.fm/dreams2013.